Oh, it's so good to be back with you, Lori and I. Thank you for the opportunity to give us a couple weeks off that we weren't here the last 2 weeks. Kyle did an outstanding job. I hope you are here to hear his last two messages. He's a gifted teacher, okay? Now, we're not going to be able to keep him here because we're about sending people into the harvest. So he's going to be a church planter, though this time next year he'll be out there in the Salmon Creek area. They're moving tomorrow and have purchased a home and are going to root themselves in that community to make Jesus known there. And so I just want to say, Kyle, thank you again for sharing the last couple of Sundays and the great job that you did do. I encourage you to go and listen to the podcast about that. And so when the days were approaching for Jesus' ascension, this is what the Bible says in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Jesus was determined, to go to Jerusalem. And I've underlined and italicized the word determined. It's a key word for us this morning. This word determined is a very important word when it comes to following Jesus. As we have followed Jesus, perhaps a number of you have followed Jesus for a long time, you could probably say, yes, it's true. Determination will be necessary to follow Jesus. It isn't always easy to follow him. Jesus is going to make that more apparent to his disciples as this was recorded at that time. But also, it follows through to us today that it is not an easy thing to follow Jesus at times. Jesus sets this great example. He is the mentor of our lives, all right? He was determined to accomplish his mission. His mission ultimately would be to go back to the Father through the ascension, but to get there, he had to go and die and be buried and be raised again. And to get to that point, he had some continuing ministry. Roughly 6 months is what most believe where he was at this time as it's recorded. Jesus had this grand purpose, this important mission to seek and to save the lost, to bear witness to the truth, to be the offering of God for the whole world's sin. The Lamb of God, John would point him out, who takes away the sin of the world, the Bible says. And so we are so grateful today that Jesus was willing to do what he said, what he knew, what he even predicted would happen to him. Here it is back earlier in the Gospel of Luke chapter 9 and verse 22. It says this, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised on the third day." Jesus would, you know, prophesy. He would predict to his close disciples and those that were overhearing around them that he would have to undergo this in order to accomplish his mission. And Jesus was determined to go to Jerusalem where this would happen. The very next verse, look closely with me at this. This will be on the screen. You have some handouts that have all of the texts that we'll be sharing today. Look at what it's, well, it doesn't say that on this particular, but the very next verses, verse 23 and 25, following up on his prediction of what would happen to him, he says this to his disciples, "And he was saying to them all, if anyone," I circled anyone, and my she here, "if anyone wishes to come after me," if anyone wishes to come after me, look what he says, "he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is it? What is a man profited," Jesus says, "if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" When we consider Jesus and we consider this idea of following him, being a disciple, an adherent, someone who's trying to be like him, someone who wants to connect to God through him, one who wants to be a friend of God because of Jesus Christ, Jesus says to us that it may not be an easy road, that the journey may get rough. It did for Jesus. He says, if you're going to follow, if you're going to come after, if you're going to be my disciple, it will for you too. So what you're going to find out at the branch as you continue to, attend the branch, which I hope you do, is that we take the Bible full strength. We don't take some verses that are always just feel-good verses because we want you to feel good every time you leave. We hope you feel good because you have dealt with truth, and it always will feel better to know the truth because the truth ultimately sets us free. We don't want anybody in this world to be deceived, to not have the full understanding, to not have the full counsel of God's word to live off of. And so Jesus is the one who shares some of the most difficult words in the Bible to us. Jesus does. And he is the one who loves you the most. He loves you more than I do. I'd like to say I love you. He loves you more than your spouse does if you're married. He loves you more than you love your children. How could that be? But he does. And he is also the one who's going to speak to you the absolute truth about life. I don't know about you, but I like that. Now, I don't like the hard stuff in life, okay? I don't think any of us do. And I would much rather be comfortable and live in air conditioning in these days than not, right? And where we can, we do. God's not against our comfort. He's against if our comfort would take the place of truly following him. Comforts in varieties of ways as we would follow Jesus. It isn't always going to be comfortable, Jesus says. It isn't always going to be convenient to follow him. It isn't always going to be the way we want our future to look like. It isn't always going to be a secure future necessarily from the way we would like to pursue that perhaps. It's going to be, though, the truth. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must, what does it say again? Deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Even daily, Jesus says. These are the words of Jesus. Whoever wishes to save his life, I do. I want to save my life. I want to be saved ultimately forever, right? We'll lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, he's going to find it. Wow. We'll save it. But what is a man if he profits, gains the whole world, but forfeits himself? That's the ultimate life forever. That's the ultimate eternity. Our soul is an account. And so Jesus commands his followers to go and make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey whatever I've commanded you. I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. And that's what's been done since Jesus ascended, after he accomplished his mission on through to today. It continues to be done. It continues to be done right here at the Branch Church, where we want to send people, go, honor that commitment that Jesus shared to be a missional kind of church that seeks to send and reach more people with the gospel and the resources that God would allow us to have. But it requires us to lose our lives in order to save it, to deny ourselves. And so it won't be always comfortable, convenient. We may encounter resistance. There'll be conflicts of loyalties, perhaps in our lives, that we have to decide between. Friends and family may not agree with us or understand us as we pursue the cause of Christ, the purpose of our lives, the commission that he calls us to as a church. So we're going to get heavy into what Jesus says here. But let me just pause and just consider the branch again. We get our name out of, primarily out of John 15 and verse 5, where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me remains, lives, keeps, continues in me, and I in him or her will bear much fruit. Okay? So there's a condition to being very productive, condition to accomplishing the grand purposes of God through your life on the planet. The condition is that we abide, that we abide. And he goes on to say in that verse, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's nothing eternally significant. Nothing that will truly last. These are words from Jesus again. This abiding is an interesting word. It's where we live and find our life. And over in 1 John 2 and verse 6, John the Apostle said this, the one who says he abides, the one who says he abides in him, that's Jesus, ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Jesus calls us to follow. He calls us to be a disciple. He calls us to come after. All those terms signify the same thing. We're to walk as much as possible in the same manner as he walked. And Jesus starts his journey out, headed for Jerusalem. He set his face. He determined, he resolutely, one of the versions says, he made this decision to say, I've got to get eventually to Jerusalem. I'm on my last phase of ministry. He's going down into get to Judea and a Judean ministry. He'd go through Samaria. He's got to get there. He set his face. That is, he determined that he was going to accomplish his mission before he was taken up, ultimately ascending. And so this is what we want to know well. We want to know that Jesus was determined. And we also want to understand that we want to be like that. We want to walk like that with a determination in following him. And so discipleship, friends, requires determination to follow Jesus, as we will see as Jesus expresses more of himself and he starts out on this journey, requires determination. Determination is the act of coming to a decision or fixing or settling a purpose. Another rendering of definition could be the act of deciding definitely and firmly. Firm or fixed intention to achieve a desired end. That's determination. Determination is part of discipleship. Discipleship requires it. So as we follow Jesus in our lives, there are going to be times when, it's not going to be that hard to follow him. It's pretty easy. We're going through good times. And then there's going to be the time of testing. And it'll test our discipleship. It really will test our resolve. It'll test our determination. It'll test our decision, our follow-through on it, our true intention to accomplish and follow Jesus, come what may. And so these words are in the Bible from Jesus that we might gain, we might learn, that we might resolve. And so let's be reminded of that again this morning. Let's grow in our understanding of Jesus as this determined missionary that we might be, as much as possible on this planet, determined missionaries for Jesus, to make disciples, to replicate churches, right? That's one of our great desires as a church. Gabrielle Douglas, some of you might know that name. Gabrielle Douglas spent the first year of her life with her homeless family that lived in the back of a van. They were taken in by relatives, but soon her father abandoned the family, so left a mom and four kids, as the story goes. As she grew older, she aspired to be a gymnast, one of few African Americans in the sport of gymnastics at the time. She says she was taunted by her coach and teammates in Virginia. I've always put my heart into gymnastics and pushed myself every single day, no matter what else was going on, she said. With Olympic dreams driving her, she acquired one of the most renowned coaches in the sport, and at age 14 moved to train in the cornfields of Iowa. Just a few months before the 2012 Olympics, she wanted to quit and work at Chick-fil-A. But she refocused her goals, threw herself into her training, and in the London Olympics, grabbed gold in both the team and individual all-around competitions. Gabby Douglas says, listen up, here's what she says, never give up. Times may be tough, but sacrifices, they do pay off. If you give up, you will always have regrets that you didn't push through. Thank you, Gabby, for your inspiring, determined to accomplish life. And words that would encourage us this morning. As with every endeavor in life, okay? We've all had some endeavors, I'm sure, whether it was finishing school, accomplishing something in a job, persisting in something that we just didn't want to continue because it was so hard. The spirit of determination was necessary to ultimately succeed. And friends, I just want us to understand today, Jesus calls us to have this spirit of determination. He calls us to be determined. He calls us to make a decision and follow through. He calls us to remain, to abide, to continue, to keep. That's what Jesus calls us to. We'll never regret it should we do it. But like Gabby says, you would have regrets. You would have regrets if you didn't push through sometimes the hard times of following Jesus. So Jesus seems to turn toward Jerusalem, provides us some practical thoughts here in this passage that's on your tables there. It's in a Bible if you want to open up your own Bible. But we have some Bibles, by the way. These are free. You can take them. They're on the Branch Central table. If you don't have a Bible that you own or that one that you can read, you may find this to be a little more helpful in that respect. So I encourage you. As I, read the Bible every day as much as you can. Just read according to our reading plan. You should find those on the tables there. Be into the Word of God. We take a little section every week. If that's all you're getting fed spiritually is what you get by coming to church, I just want to let you know as a pastor, a shepherd of your soul that I have some accountability for, it's not going to be enough. I just want you to know that. In our world today, with the amount of information that comes, slamming at us every day, that a half an hour on Sunday, feeding from God's Word, it's just not going to be enough. So hear my heart on that. So Jesus gives us, I think, some practical thoughts on the disciples' required determination. Maybe these will help to translate these ideas of denying self and taking up our cross daily with some specific circumstances. And so it goes on after verse 51 where Jesus determined to go to Jerusalem. He sent his messengers, verse 52, on ahead of him. And they went and entered a village of the Samaritans. Samaria was in between where he was up in Galilee wanting to get down into Judea. So he was going through Samaria and he went to this village of Samaritans to make some arrangements for him. But they did not receive him. Again, my emphasis, they did not receive him because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. And there was some big time hostile even conflicts between some Samaritans and the Jews at this time. And so when his disciples, James and John, those guys were called the sons of thunder for good reason because they would like to do this kind of thing, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Lord, can we just eliminate these guys? Let's just do that, because they refused you. Because they said, no, I don't believe in you, Jesus. I don't believe in the stuff you're doing. I don't have anything to do with you. Get out of here. We don't want to open up a hotel room for you. You don't have any options in this land. Go. They did not receive him. He was unwelcome. And so we would probably be like James and John, I think. That's hard. But Jesus turned and rebuked them, his disciples, James and John. He rebuked them and said, "You not know what kind of spirit you are of? For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went on to another village. And so I just want to look at just four little pieces here that Jesus gives us. It maybe breaks down a little bit, applies a little more practicality, application, maybe some things we can relate to about what it means to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. This idea, you know, of a determined discipleship. Discipleship requires determination, a determination to see others as Jesus did. If you wanted to write down in the notes, that would be the fill-in. To see others as Jesus does. This may be one of the hardest things it is for disciples of Jesus to actually kind of orient and see through his filters, to understand things from the place of God in the flesh, of what God is trying to do on the planet. But it's actually one of the very first, most important things we need to honor as we would walk as Jesus walked. How can I see people that I don't like, that bug me, that mess with me every time I see them, that get under my skin? Anybody have any people like that in your lives? Don't raise your hands. Oh, yeah, so the hands are starting to go up. So this, it happens, right? And Jesus has this way of looking at them. They rejected him. First thing that happens on this journey, Jesus is rejected. I'm going to go. I'm determined to get to Jerusalem. And he starts out with rejection. Sometimes we warn people who come to faith. See, they cross the line and said, "I really do believe that Jesus is the very Son of the living God, and he is the Messiah. He's the only one who can save me. Nothing I can do can save me. He's the only one, and I'm going to trust that. For when I die, I believe that's what's going to save me. What Jesus did for me on the cross, I trust that now." They walk over that line. They orient their life to God. It's called repentance. They stop doing the things that are wrong and that dishonor God, and they begin to do everything that they know as they understand and learn God's word about what's right and what follows God, what will bless their lives. And then they're baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins, and they receive the gifting of God's Spirit, where God comes to live in them. People get that. But Jesus is saying, this is what I need you to get to. See people that I need you to reach as part of the redeemed community reaching the unredeemed. See people with the eyes of love that God has. See people with their struggles to deal with this new thing coming on them. Be careful about seeking retribution. Be careful about seeking vengeance. Remember, I came to save. He'll come again one day to save and judge, but this time he just came to save. And so, to possibly relate a bit, I thought about the Samaritans and the Jews were like perhaps the opposing political philosophies today, which are rather uncivil and unloving toward each other, right? Somebody say yes. Somebody says amen. That happens. We can see it. It's just a cultural thing around us. Jesus sees people and walks toward possible connection. He's not seeing people that are an enemy. He's seeing people that, God loves you. I love you so much. I'm coming to save you. Now, you're rejecting me right now. Okay, you're rejecting me. Okay, let's just walk away until another day. Let's walk away until another day. Can you say that with me? Let's walk away until another day. That's what Jesus did. He could have made judgment right then. He could have made life very difficult for them, but they're making it difficult for themselves already. Because the kingdom of God has come near, and they rejected it. walk away until another day. Another day comes to Samaria. Even in the life of Jesus, Jesus is there again. And so, but in the book of Acts, Samaria receives the gospel. And Peter and John are sent, and there's this explosion of people that have come to know Jesus. And who knows whether something like this was part of the lead up to that eventually happening. Oh my goodness. Walk away until another day, because that's what Jesus does. And that may eventually mean lives change forever. Can I ask you this question? Is there a person you need to see as Jesus does in your life right now? Think about people in your life. Is there anybody you need to see as Jesus would see, rather than as you're kind of tempted over and over to see? I can think of one or two in my life. Okay. It may take a determination to see people as Jesus sees people. Discipleship requires determination. Well, as they were going along in verse 57, look what it says. Someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." By the way, Jesus understands homelessness, doesn't he? He has a heart, I think, for those that are struggling to have a secure place night by night. Sometimes seeing people through Jesus, as Jesus does, that might be one of those ways. Discipleship requires determination. Determination to follow when it gets hard. To follow when it gets hard. It may be easy now, but it may get harder. Persecution may come. In this world you will have tribulation, Jesus says. Jesus is warning disciples to count the cost. They may kick you out of the hotel. The world may not be hospitable to you as a follower of Jesus. As you identify as a disciple of Jesus, God is not against our comfort. Only if comfort is working against God's purposes in our lives. If convenience and comfort means an exclusion of living out God's true mission and purpose for our lives, then do away with the comfort and inconvenience and hold on with determination to Jesus. Here's a question. What are you willing to live without? What are we willing to live without in order to follow Jesus when it gets hard? He goes on and he just kind of, one right after another, shares some instances of what it means to follow him. He said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, permit me first," I underlined first or circled first in my notes, "to go and bury my father." But he said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Discipleship requires determination, a determination to put Jesus first in all relationships. To put Jesus first in all relationships of our lives. Now, bear with me. This guy was willing to follow Jesus, the one he's talking to in this story. He's willing to follow Jesus, but he's looking for a condition that if Jesus would offer him some more time to get his priorities in order, okay? So he has to go bury his father. Well, what does that mean in that day? Well, there's different viewpoints on this. I'll give you one here. It's very unlikely this guy's father had already died, okay? First of all, they'd bury the same day. Jews bury the same day. So it wouldn't be that much there. He wouldn't have probably already died. He probably wouldn't have been on the road watching Jesus pass by. If he had died, it would have been at home with mourners. It seems like, and this is what some would say, this guy's asking for an indefinite leave of absence. looking for like a leave of absence. His father may not even be sick. He may simply be thinking, if I leave home before my father dies, he might cut me out of my inheritance. It would be better and easier for me to follow Jesus once I know how my financial situation will look in the future. Because he's asking me to pick up and start to follow him along this itinerant journey Jesus is taking. Okay, there's a cost to that. So this idea of a leave of absence, we get it, don't we? An indefinite leave in this case, perhaps. Let's get something together before I do the next thing. There's some wisdom in doing some of that in normal life, but Jesus is calling us to follow him. And he's concerned about those that might say, well, hold on, I got to get something else done first. So, I don't know, I've been in this place before in my past. How many of us have asked for that kind of thing? I'll get serious about Jesus once I get older, once I get more money, once I get married, once I leave this current relationship, once I get out of college, once I get that job, once I feel like justice was done, once this TV series ends or the football season is over, once, I'll come. I'll get more serious. Then you'll see me. Friends, I don't know if that's exactly what he means here, but there's quite a few that have looked into this passage to say this could be something we could relate to even today. And so here's the deal, maybe right here. We agree to follow Jesus, but sometimes we want our terms and our schedule to fit into Jesus' somehow desire for us. Does it fit? Can I fit in Jesus with, I got some things to get done, so can you hang on and let me, I'm just saying Jesus isn't about that, friends. Not according to what this is saying. We can't agree to follow Jesus on our terms and on our schedule. Jesus is emphasizing that he demands a loyalty. He demands first place. That he's greater than that loyalty to one's own family, even, and to one's own future, to our sense of security. He wants us to place that security and control in his hands. He will take care of us. He is the one who definitively is for family above anybody you know. He is the one that is for our lives. He's for our security eternally. He is the one that has sovereign control over everything and providentially will bring your life to pass in the best place it could ever be. He just calls us to follow. Come along. Follow me. Well, look at this. Look at this next one, this final one. Another also said, verse 61, I will follow you, Lord, but first, and I circled first again, because this is interesting, permit me to say goodbye to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So this discipleship that Jesus is calling us to requires a determination to maintain an undivided heart. He was willing, this guy says, to follow Jesus too, but again, there are a few things to do. First, he likely wants to talk it over with his family to make sure he's making the right decision for Jesus. And if they agree, I'm sure they would give me a big party and I'll have all the relatives over and send me out with great fanfare on my way to follow Jesus. Isn't that the way we'd always like it to be? I'll guarantee you, for me, that didn't work out that way. When I made a decisive turn to Jesus and determined to follow him, my family did not throw me a party. My mom said she thought she failed me. So I get this. Jesus is, I think, warning about going back. Because what happens when you go back to a large family gathering? Somebody's going to tell you, don't go wasting your life on that religion stuff. It doesn't take all that to know God. I haven't been to church in 7 years, and I'm all right with God. Come on. You may not get everybody encouraging you to be determined to be a disciple of Jesus in your life. I'm just saying. And we all love our families, but sometimes there are family members that don't understand the way you do at this point. So I have a high respect for soldiers. Here's why. A soldier called to protect his country, his community, and his family must prepare to leave his family, his community, and his country and go off to the war front. I have tremendous respect for that. I have never served. I'm not a vet. But those that have, I have a high respect for you because you had made some determination that you were going to follow through on for not just your own welfare, but for the welfare of other people. Perhaps Jesus would say to people who would be his followers that they are also fighting for other people's lives, that they're fighting not just for people's physical lives, but also for their spiritual lives. And Jesus would say there's this constant fight, there's this choice we have to make between God and mammon, he would say, between the love of the world and the love of the Father, between being a friend of the world and an enemy of God. There's always these choices that come up that will demand that we have a determination to make that choice of Jesus and follow, be a disciple. It will require determination to maintain an undivided heart. What competes, question, what competes with your commitment to Jesus or his church in your life? It's a good question to ask and answer. Is there something that constantly competes? That's where determination will be needed for you in that area. Discipleship will require determination. Now listen to these words from Fred Craddock. He's a renowned, very scholarly commentator. Listen to these words. These words sometimes people struggle with, but just hear what he's saying about what Jesus has said. The radicality of Jesus' words lies in his claim to priority over the best, not the worst, of human relationships. Jesus never said to choose him over the devil, but to choose him over the family. I'm just saying, there would be a sword in the family. There would be a division. He predicted it. Because to follow Jesus, not everybody's going to do it. Even some in our own families. So Jesus cuts to the chase. Jesus just expresses it. These are hard words. And Jesus is all for family. More than any of us could be. The late Dallas Willard was a pastor and teacher of philosophy in California. Willard was also the author of several books on Christian spirituality, including The Spirit of the Disciplines. You may have heard of these. That's why I'm saying them. Understanding How God Changes Lives and The Divine Conspiracy, that's Rediscovering Our Hidden Life in God. The second book was a 1999 Christian Book of the Year, according to Christianity Today magazine. In his webpage on discipleship, I bring this up because this guy is a master of discipleship. He was a scholar in this area. He wrote this. This is encouraging to me. It's what we're going to kind of end with as we go into communion. Look at these words that he says. Disciples simply are people who are constantly revising their affairs to carry through on their decision to follow Jesus. Discipleship isn't something that we get perfectly and then we live perfectly the rest of our lives. Discipleship is one of these things that is messy. It's difficult. We're up and down. We're emotionally in struggles. And so we're constantly revising our affairs in accord with what it means to follow Jesus, using determination, setting our face to follow Jesus based on that decision we made before. He goes on to say that disciples are people who understand every part of their lives as a working relationship with God. If you want to go deeper into this whole area of discipleship, as we would go through Luke, there's some even more impacting verses about discipleship coming up. Check out Luke chapter 14. This is a great book called Not a Fan, meaning he's a follower. I'm not a fan of Jesus. There's a lot of fans of Jesus. But being a follower of Jesus, well, that's setting the bar way up there. Anybody can be a fan. But being a follower is a lot different. Kyle Eidelman, in fact, one of the churches that supports Kyle here as a resident is the church that he preaches for, one of the teaching pastors, Southeast Christian Church back in Louisville, Kentucky. So he's one of the preaching pastors. Good preacher. Got a great book here that goes deeply into this and just encouraging you to consider that if you'd like to go more into this. We're going to share communion now. I want to invite you to take a piece of bread and the juice, and let's take communion together today. Thank you. So one of the things we do week by week at the branch is to remember our salvation. Remember our freedom from bondage to sin. We we're grateful. The salvation results that if you're saved today, if you know you're going to heaven and have eternal life, it came in part due to Jesus' determination to accomplish his purpose, which was to bring us salvation through his own life, death, burial, and resurrection. I invite you to take communion now, remembering Jesus'